And so we're going to read from Matthew's Gospel 26 and verse 36. We're going to break into the chapter at. Coming to a very well known passage. Just a couple of things we'll leave with you tonight, even from it. Matthew's Gospel 26 and verse 36. The Word of God says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came, and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. I want to just simply look at three simple commands for every Christian. Three simple commands for every Christian. Let's just wait upon the Lord and ask him to speak to us. Father in heaven, with thy word open, we do come to a most sad occasion. Even as we think of the Lord there with the great sorrows of our sin as they enveloped around him, as the cross came into such a clear view for him. And yet, O God, there's much even for the believer in this passage to glean. And we pray that as we spend these moments together in thy word tonight, we pray, O God, that we will glean from thy word. We will be fed from thy word. And even as we come to the place of prayer a little later on, that thou wilt bless us and encourage us even to pray once again. So to that end, we pray for the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray that thou wilt empty us of self and of sin and fill us with thy Spirit. And be very near and very precious unto us, even tonight, we ask thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Garden of Gethsemane is a very strange time, as it were, in the life of the Lord. Very unusual what we're reading in these verses. Whenever you come to the Gospels and you sit down with all of the Gospels and you come to consider this time in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's amazing just what we've been reading. You think of the great sorrow that's coming upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks there of being the man of sorrows. He's so very sore amazed and very heavy, and he began to be sorrowful. He says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." It must have been completely miraculous to the disciples to see. Here was the one who could calm the storms. Here was the one who could feed the 5,000. Here was the one who could stand and rebuke all of the Pharisees. He could stand against any man. And yet in that moment, they saw a truly different side to the Lord. And as we come to this passage, there's so many different ways that you can look at it. You can preach, of course, to the unbeliever. And you can preach to the saved. And tonight, as we look at these verses, I want us really just to look at the three commands that are given to the disciples. Because those simple commands which the Lord gives to them are very particular, but they're very precious. And they are very strong words that we can hold on to, even for us today. You know, it's very interesting, as I said, the Lord in the grief and anguish, and yet he doesn't forget his people. He These soramias, these very heavy, and yet there are still words of instruction, there are still words of direction to his disciples. And I think of even the Lord as he goes to the cross. And I think as he's carrying that cross out of Jerusalem, and there's the woman of Jerusalem, and they're standing weeping, and yet he stops and he speaks to them. I think of the Lord upon the cross, and he's there, and the blood is flowing out of his head, his back, his hands, his feet. And yet he speaks to his mother. He speaks to John. And he'll speak to the dying thief. And even in the midst of such sorrow, such anguish, yet the Lord has a continual concern for his people. He never forgets about his children. He never abandons his children. He never leaves them without that instruction, without that guide. You know, it's important, even as you're coming to this passage, to remember the context. Because so much has been happening in the lives of the disciples. Important to remember everything that's been said and seen by the disciples, and everything that's been said and seen to the disciples, as it were. So much has been happening, so much has been changing. The Lord has said, Matthew 26 in the verse 2, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." And 2 days later they came together, they observed what is known as the Last Supper. And they observed as the Lord brought in the communion feast, the table of remembrance. They watched as Christ took off his robes, wrapped himself in a towel, and he'd get down on his knees beside them and he would wash their feet. He took the place of a servant, even in that practical, physical way. They listened as Christ prophesied then that one of them would deny him. They listened and watched on then as he prophesied that one would betray him. And they watched as Judas took the sop. And they were there in the room whenever Christ said, John 13:27, "That thou doest, do quickly." And then Judas left. He departed from them and he went out into the night. They listened to the Lord's farewell discourses as he stated that he would be returning to heaven. And John 14:3-16, he would promise them the coming of the Comforter. And still, even though all of that's been going on in their minds and before their eyes, yet there's still the thoughts in their own heads, who's the greatest? Am I the greatest? Is he the greatest? And even as they've watched all of this, as they've saw the Lord take the humble servant position at their feet, washing their feet, yet still in their mind, they're still filled with those thoughts of self-importance. It's in this context that they come to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord knew their minds and their hearts. He knew exactly where they were mentally. He knew exactly where they were physically. He knew exactly where they were spiritually. And so he gives them three commands. Three very simple commands to follow. The first one, verse 36. He says, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." The first command he gives them, wait. Wait. As I said, these commands are noted for their simplicity. They came to the Garden of Gethsemane with great thoughts of themselves, of their bravado. You look at verse 33. Peter answers, says unto him, "Lo, all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter again, verse 35. "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise said all the disciples. They're all standing up, as it were, before the Lord. "Lord, it doesn't matter what happens, we'll never leave you. It doesn't matter what happens, Lord, we'll never deny you. Lord, we have two swords. We're going to take on whoever comes." And these men are standing up, and it doesn't matter how many come, it doesn't matter what comes. These men are standing up and they're saying, "We'll take on whatever comes. We'll stand for you, Lord. We'll fight for you, Lord. We'll defend you. We'll never deny you." The Lord just says, "No, no, no. Wait." They literally come into the garden. And there are 8 disciples left at the gate of the garden. 3 then, Peter, James, and John, go that little bit further. And then the Lord will go further yet. He's all of the disciples, and he said to all 11 of them, just wait. Wait on me. I want you to sit. I want you to tarry. I want you just to wait. Yes, you're promising to do great exploits. You're promising to stand up to everyone. You're promising to take everyone on. But I just want you to wait. I want you to be patient. You see, before you can do the great things, you must be able to do the little things. Remember that with Moses and Joshua? Never the Lord called both Moses and Joshua. He gave them the first simple command. Both of them got the same command. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. They received the simplest of commands before they ever were given the great task of leading the people. Here's a simple command. Take your shoes off. And here's the disciples, and they're getting that first command being given to them. Just wait. Just wait. Before you can do the great things, you must be doing the little things. Before you do anything, you must wait in the Lord. Psalm 27:14, wait in the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 46:10, be still. Know that I am God. Remember, the night was dark. Judas has already left. He's gathering the men. The soldiers, the Jewish leaders, are going to be coming to arrest Christ. The disciples could have believed, oh, we need to get to a place of safety. We need to get to a place of security. Yes, we have two swords. Yes, we're willing to stand. But surely we need to hide Christ. Christ just says, no, no, no. Sit there. Wait. Be patient. John Blanchard, the Bible commentator, he says, biblical patience is not rooted in fatalism that says everything is out of control. Biblical patience is rooted in faith that says everything is in God's control. You see the difference? Yes, we can look around and the day is dark. The enemy's moving. The attacks against the gospel, they're there. There's so much that needs to be done. There's so much that we need to be busy about. There's so much activity that needs to happen. There's so much preparation that needs to be made. But there must be patience. There must also be a waiting on the Lord. George Mueller, the great prayer warrior, he says, you need never to take a step in the dark. If you do, you're sure to make a mistake. Wait, wait, wait till you have light. And if you patiently wait, expectantly wait, you will find that the waiting is not in vain and that the Lord will prove himself a counselor both to the wise and the good. Child of God, we need to wait. And what was it Isaiah said? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Do you remember how easy it is for an eagle to soar? Ever watch an eagle up in the sky? Don't have them in this country, but have you ever watched any of those programs? How effortless it is for an eagle to be away up in the heavens. It's literally just hanging there with the wings out. It's not flapping like the little birds further down. The soaring eagle just broods over, as it were, and it's just flying effortlessly above everything. Why? Because of the power that it has. And the ability it has. And what is God saying to us? You wait on me. My then you'll see it's as easy as the soaring eagle. We're to wait. Then secondly, the verse 41, the second command that's given, we're to watch. Because in verse 41 he says, watch and pray. Christ, having left the disciples, as I said, at the various stages, there's eight at the first gate. The three then moved further in. Judas is gone. And so the three came further, and then the Lord went further still, and he fell upon his face before his Father. For Peter, James, and John, that experience, seeing the Lord so amazed and very heavy, as I said, it must have been astonishing. To see the Lord in such distress. It seemed so much before the power, that seen the glory in the Mount of Transfiguration, that saw him shine. And now they saw him so amazed. They're expecting danger. They're expecting trouble. He told them, after 2 days, the Son of Man will be betrayed and crucified. They're expecting. He even brought the swords. But yet, even though they had the swords, they had the intel. Did you notice they don't watch? They don't watch. There's impending danger, but yet there's no watchman. Judas is going to come very, very soon with a great host. They're going to be carrying the torches. The whole night sky is going to be lit up with these men, with their torches, with their staves. This great band is going to come out of this city, and they're going to come out to the Garden of Gethsemane. They're going to come for the Lord, and there's going to be a great shining of this host. And they don't see it. Because they're not watching. You think of a watchman in the olden days up in the hills of the, or up in the walls of the castle. What was their job? To watch. They were given their various tasks. They were given their various shifts. They went round the different walls. They would stand against on the corners. They would look out from the watchtowers. And they're searching. They're watching for the enemy coming. And the enemy comes. They're to sound the alarm. What good's a watchman if he doesn't watch? What good's a watchman if his eyes aren't open? 1 Thessalonians 5 and the verse 6, it says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. As I said, Peter was full of confidence. Lord, I'll stand with you, I'll fight for you, I'll die for you. But yet he couldn't watch for him. He couldn't watch. Did you notice in the verse 40? It's Peter that he comes to. Verse 40, it says, he cometh unto the disciples, he findeth them asleep. He saith to Peter, Peter's the one, Lord, I'll fight for you, I'll die for you. And then he comes to Peter. Peter, can you not even keep your eyes open and watch? I don't need to remind you of the dangers that are in this world for us all. The dangers that there are for young people, for children. The dangers that there are for every child of God. The devil still is padding about like the roaring lion, just plodding step by step. And yet with all of the danger, with all of the attacks, there are so many Christians are sleeping. With all of the risk, all of the harm, there are so many Christians sleeping. You know, I think of Samson. Samson, there's so many different ways to take Samson. There's a wonderful view of Samson that you can look at and you can see a parallel between Samson and the Church of Christ. You think of Samson asleep in the knee of Delilah. She touches his hair. His hair had never been touched. He had never had one strand cut in its life. And yet there's Samson in the knee of Delilah, and she's just stroking the head, stroking the hair. And she asked him all of those questions. Where's your strength? Oh, if you get the new ropes, if you get the seven green whiffs, if you try this, if you try that. And he just keeps sleeping. And then he wakes up and the head shaved. And he wists not that the Lord had departed. He didn't have his eyes open as a judge and as a watchman. He was fast asleep on the knee of Delilah. Surely that can be applied to so much of the Church of Christ today. They've just been nursed over to sleep. The world is just nursed, as it were, and just sat and stroked them. There, it's not as bad as you're making it out. It's okay, don't worry, calm yourself. And the Christian's just nodding off. There's so much has just been fed. And even sadly, young people, some older people too, start to believe that the various sins that were once so heinous in the eyes of the church are now okay. Peter, John, the disciples, they weren't watching. They weren't prepared. And so when the enemy came in like the flood, Judas just landed up with all of the men. What happened to the disciples? And they turned and they ran. They failed to stand for the Lord. They failed to stand with the Lord because they failed to watch. Child of God, we need our eyes open. We need to be mindful of what's going on around us. We need to be alert to the dangers that there are for us, for children, for young people. We need to be watching. We need to be waiting. We need to be watching. And then thirdly and finally, we need to be praying. Verse 41, watch and pray. You know, whenever Christ returned the first time and he woke them up, what did it really highlight to them? As he says at the end of verse 40, he says to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He's really showing to them, look at the weakness, look at the fallibleness even of your being. You're saying you're going to do all of these great things. You can't even watch for 1 hour. You can't even keep your eyes open for 1 hour. They're weak. The hour was late. The tummies were full. They'd had their last supper. The eyes were heavy. They were finite at best. And surely is it, as they realized their weakness, it ought have highlighted to them their need of help. They should have got up, shook themselves, and started praying. Started really endeavoring just to encourage one another. Praying out loud, doing whatever needed to be done to try and combat this weariness. Christ there encouraging them, watch, pray, and ye enter not into temptation. You need to have your eyes open, see the enemy approach. And if they would watch, then they would realize their need of help, and they would have then prayed. Because remember, as I've said, Judas brings a great band with him. There's only 11 of them. See that fearful sight of all of the torches, all of the staves, all of the men coming. That would have been a fearsome sight. It would drive any man to his knees in prayer. They could have cried to the Lord for help. Lord, help. Lord, we're under attack. Lord, the enemy's approaching. The enemy's advancing. They would have turned and cried to the Lord, but they're asleep. See, child of God, if you're watching, your watching will lead to praying. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Colossians 4 and 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Do you see they're connected? Watching leads to praying. Praying leads to watching. So what do we need to do in this day in which we live with an enemy coming in all around us? We need to be watching. We need to be praying. First Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It's very easy as time goes on to grow weary in prayer. Maybe think to yourself, well, I've came for 3 weeks to the prayer meeting. I need a night off. It's very easy just to slip away for a night or two, and before you know it, you've missed a month or two. It's very easy just for the weariness of the body just to come in, and the tiredness after the day's work, and you're just exhausted, and all I want to do, I just want to sit down. And I'll flick the wee recliner and the legs will go up and I'll go backwards, and before I know it, it's 10 o'clock. It's very easy. The weariness, the finiteness of the body. Yet, brethren and sisters, we need to be praying. We need to be praying continuously. We need to be watching. We need to be watching continuously. We need to be keeping our eyes upon the Lord, even as we keep them upon what is going on in the land. We need to wait. We need to watch. We need to pray. Very simple instructions. May the Lord be pleased even to help us. Even tonight, as we come to the place of prayer, the Lord will enable us to watch and to pray and to seek His blessing and His help.